This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Kennedy Classics.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Cassidy. A few days ago, we celebrated Christmas. Even to much of the unbelieving world, Christmas is a special time of year. Of course, to the believer, we enjoy the benefits of Christmas every day of the year. In one sense, every day is a holiday, a holy day, because of the birth of our Savior.
But with all of the hustle and bustle of the season, it can be easy to lose sight of what it's really all about. The Christmas season is a wonderful time, but it can overshadow the reason for the season. On today's program, Dr. Kennedy will share a classic parable about the importance of remembering the real meaning of Christmas. And a bit later, we'll share perhaps the most sought-out resource in our history, showing how God has proclaimed the message of Christ in the stars.
And as we begin today's program, we'll hear from my father, the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, as he presents his classic Christmas message, Mary Tifton.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the second chapter of Matthew and also from 2 Corinthians. May we hear the inspired word of the living God. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And in Corinthians it says, Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. Over 30 years ago, I preached a sermon entitled Mary Tifton. And that has probably been the most popular message I've given because I have been requested to do it over and over again. In fact, I have been asked to preach it every Christmas season. From that, I have demurred. However, I have preached it about every 5 or 6 years for over 30 years, and this is one of those days. There was a popular program called The Millionaire. Some of you who are a little long in the tooth may remember that. It was an interesting program. Well, I decided that that would be the framework for my modern parable, and so I adopted it, I adapted it, I took some liberties with it, and finally created The Modern Parable of Christmas, Mary Tifton. Long ago, in a land across the sea and far away, there lived a man by the name of John Beresforth Tifton, a man whose wealth was so vast it was beyond the dreams of avarice. And he had a very unusual habit, a strikingly strange custom indeed, that now and again he would, based upon some criteria known only to him, select an individual and bestow upon him a gift of $1 million. Not only that, but he would adopt them into his family, he would bestow upon them his name and make them his heirs. All of this was accomplished through his personal secretary, Mr. Michael Anthony, who was easily identified by the bowler hat he always wore, by the umbrella under his arm, and the briefcase in his hand which carried a cashier's check for the gift, $1 million. Well, the practice continued. At first there were a few dozen, and then scores and hundreds, and finally several thousands of people had received the gift. Mr. Tifton ultimately died and left instructions in his will that from the vast holdings of his estate, this practice was to be continued. So over the decades and the several centuries that practice there were literally thousands of Tiftons beyond the land where he lived and around the world who had unexpectedly, astonishingly received the gift. Now, back in his native land, where there were many recipients, they decided they ought to do something to try to remember the great benefactor that had so astonishingly transformed their lives. So they decided to remember his birth. And on the day of his birth, they had a celebration. They had songs that they sang, which they had composed about him. They had their Tifton cards, which contained paintings and pictures of Mr. Tifton and all that he had done that was good. It seems that some Americans who had no idea who Tiftons were or who Mr. Tifton was heard about a party that was being celebrated on Tifton Eve. They overheard some people discussing it, and they asked them about what this was. Explain to us, what is Tifton Day? They didn't know anything about it, naturally, because they had not received the gift. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, we're having a Tifton Eve party tonight at this address. Why don't you come and you'll have it explained to you completely. So they showed up in the specified address, and there was a large house with about 20 or 30 people in it. There was a band that was playing. There was singing. There was dancing. There was drinking. There was the tinkling of glasses, the beating of drums, and it was a very merry time. There were even several people who were staggering around as if they were drunk. And they said to themselves, I don't believe Mr. Tifton would have been pleased by that kind of conduct. But we'll see what Americans have done with it. Because they not only had heard about Tifton Eve and they went to that party, but also they'd told their friends and told other friends, and first thing you know, Tifton Eve and Tifton Day were being celebrated all over America. In fact, believe it or not, they made Tifton Day a national holiday. And these two men who have happened to have just come over from the land where Tifton lived, where the celebration was confined only to those who had received the gift and the name, were amazed. They looked at the Tifton cards on the mantelpiece in this large home and were even more astounded to find that they virtually never even mentioned Mr. Tifton. There were no paintings or pictures of him. There was a fat man in a green suit, and there were three chipmunks and reindeer, red nose, and they couldn't figure it out. What were these Tifton cards? What was this Tifton celebration that was going on in America? They decided to ask a man. They said, excuse me, sir, but we're from across the sea, and we're trying to figure out what Tifton Day here in America is all about. I assume you're Mr. Tifton? No. No, my name is Betty Bootstraps. I really don't know too much about it, but as best I understand, he was a man that was very, very wealthy. He had earned a vast amount of money and gave away presents to lots of people. His life story is written down in a book. Almost everybody's got a copy of it at home. Many people don't read it, but it's there. I read a few pages once. It seems to me the idea was that he got rich by certain principles that he explains in this book, and if we would simply learn them and follow them, then perhaps we too could get rich. Why we might even become millionaires. And our two friends were astonished. This is what Tifton Day has degenerated into in America, a do-it-yourself kind of a thing. And just at that time, there came a knocking at the door. And nobody heard it because of the sound of the music and the laughter. And finally, again, a louder knock. Still, nobody heard it. And then, surprisingly to them, the door slowly opened. And there, standing at the door, was the obvious perennial descendant of Michael Anthony. You could tell by the bowler hat, the umbrella under his arm, and the briefcase in his hand. And they said, smashing, Somebody is going to receive the gift right here tonight, and then they'll understand what Tifton Day is all about. And Mr. Anthony stepped into the room and said, excuse me, may I have... But there was a burst of laughter from the other side of the room, and his voice was completely drowned out. So he came farther into the room and tried again, a little louder. Pardon me, may I have your attention? I have... Still, nobody heard and nobody paid him any mind. And so he went up to the closest man and accosted him by saying, pardon me, sir, but you see, I represent... Hey, Mac, knock it off, will you? We don't do business on Tifton Eve. Come and see me on Monday morning. Here, have a drink. And he shoved a cocktail in the man's hand. And there Michael Anthony stood with a briefcase in one hand and a cocktail in the other, himself utterly befuddled by what was happening. Finally, he set the drink down on the table and quietly exited the room. No more noticed when he left than he was when he entered. And nobody received the gift. But the party went on uninterrupted. Well, there you have it. That's my modern parable of Christmas. I hope that all of you know what is the great spiritual truth that is clothed in that physical garb, that you understand what the real gift actually is. I am sure there are many millions of people in this country that wouldn't have a clue. And I would like to ask you this Christmas Sunday, have you received the gift? I mean the real gift. Some of you are puzzled by that. Received it, you don't even know what it is. Well, dear friends, our text is thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And what is it? The Scripture declares the gift of God is eternal life. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about the gift of eternal life. If you don't know that, you can receive it this very hour. You can ask Him to come in, because, dear friend, He is knocking at your heart right now. Will you open to Him and invite Him in? If not, I guess the only thing I can say to you is Merry Tifton. May we pray. Father, I pray that some will hear the sound of your knocking. As you come in Jesus Christ, may many say to you right now, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart. I want to be a real Christian. Adopt me into your family, grant unto me your name, and make me your heir, the heir of everlasting life. I put my trust in you. My only hope of heaven is no longer myself, but you, O Christ. I repent of my sins. Help me to turn from them out of gratitude to thee and in love to thee, to endeavor to walk before thee in a manner pleasing in your eyes. And I thank you, O Christ, and ever will, for the gift of eternal life. In thy name, amen.
The heavens declare the glory of God.
For the first time ever, D. James Kennedy's most requested resource is available on one DVD set. The Gospel in the Stars, on 13 DVDs or audio CDs, available for a limited time as a thank you for your donation of $75 or more.
God, from the very beginning, outlined in the panorama of the stars the whole message of the Gospel of Christ.
The Gospel in the Stars is D. James Kennedy at his best. Don't miss this rare opportunity to own these very special messages today.
How great thou art, O God, who hath painted the starry skies with a message of redemption.
As 2014 comes to a close, we at D. James Kennedy Ministries are so grateful to the Lord and to you, our supporters, for 40 years of broadcast ministry. Beginning in 1974, my father started broadcasting his messages on radio, and that soon expanded to television. With a look at some of the major issues we've investigated in this 40th year of broadcasting, here are our very own Dr. Jerry Newcomb and John Rabe.
2015 begins in just a few days. What's in store for the new year?
The recent election showed Americans are not happy with the present course, and 2015 will prove to be pivotal. John Rabe joins me now to talk about the year past and the year to come. John, welcome.
Thank you for having me on this holiday week, Jerry.
So would you say that the midterm elections of 2014 were just really one of the biggest stories of the year?
Absolutely. Here we are now about 6 weeks, 7 weeks down the road, and the new Congress ready to be sworn in just a few days from now. And what we saw in 2014, November of 2014, is really many Americans standing up and saying, we do not like the direction that the nation is going to. They already showed that in 2012 and showed it even more strongly in 2014. An ABC News poll taken the day of the election, an exit poll, showed that about half the people who voted considered even an issue like so-called homosexual marriage to be a huge issue. That cuts against the sort of conventional wisdom that we've received recently, which says, oh, no, nobody cares about that anymore. Well, the poll showed otherwise. People were voting on moral issues. They were voting on life issues. They were voting on family issues, among others.
Do you think that in some ways the Christians showed up and that helped make a big difference?
Absolutely. And that's something that we've been calling for on this program, and our friends in ministry have been calling for as well. And we saw effects from that. This very ministry in 2014, we worked hard to distribute the 2014 Biblical Guide to Voting. We distributed Dr. Kennedy's very powerful messages on voting and encouraged our people to go out. And they did. And what we saw is that it made a difference. We really saw a wave around the country.
One of our viewers wrote to us, her name is Pamela, and she said this: thank you so much for your ministry all these years, and especially for your material on the 2014 election and for voting for biblical values. I plan to do just that and know that my vote will be counted for righteousness and for God's kingdom of heaven to be advanced. Polls showed that radical Islam was a major concern to voters in this election. And this certainly was a perilous year when it comes to radical Islam. Look at the rise of ISIS.
Those who have been paying attention, and we've certainly tried to work to help people be aware of what this ideology is about, shouldn't be surprised. Islam, radical Islam, is not tolerant, and it doesn't brook any sort of dissent. And so as they've made their march across Iraq, frankly, with a little bit of capitulation from the United States and the allied countries that were involved in the war there, they've been wiping people who are not of their ilk out left and right, and that's really affected the Christians in Iraq.
Think about this. 500 years or so before Muhammad was even born, there was a Christian community in Iraq all those centuries, and yet they were being wiped out, and part of them were wiped out in 2014. They were given that ultimatum: you either flee Mosul right now or convert or die.
You mentioned Mosul as a prime example. As recently as 15 or 20 years ago, there were tens of thousands of Christians in the city of Mosul. By most international estimates right now, there is not a single known Christian left in the city of Mosul. Many of those have been martyred. Many of those have been killed. The others have been driven into exile and out of Iraq by ISIS. And yet, it took our government a long time to come around to it. President Obama characterized them as sort of the junior varsity, not really worth the time of America to deal with, and claimed that they weren't well organized. Well, as it turns out, they're very well organized, and they've taken over much of Iraq.
And, of course, radical Islam has been in charge for a long time in Sudan, and we saw this year the story of Miriam Ibrahim. For those who didn't know that story, tell us about that and the positive ending to it.
Miriam Ibrahim was raised as a Christian in Sudan. However, she was arrested by the Islamic authorities because they claimed that she was Muslim and had converted to Christianity. That's a crime that's punishable by death in Sudan, which is reprehensible enough. And in this case, it wasn't even true. Thankfully, international pressure was brought to bear, and we here at D. James Kennedy Ministries enlisted many of our supporters to also contact their congressmen, the president, their representatives, and thankfully the American government put pressure on Sudan, and Miriam Ibrahim was released from captivity along with her baby, whom she gave birth to in prison. She was released
in chains.
That's right, in chains in prison. She was released from prison and is now safely with her family in the United States, thankfully.
And this shows you that if we speak out, it really makes a difference. Now, this ministry has certainly spoken out about the issue of Obamacare.
If you look at the polls, Jerry, I think it's safe to say one of the major reasons that a change was made at the polls in November 2014 was because of dissatisfaction with this Obamacare law that was really rammed down everybody's throats and that has just undergone this horrific rollout in late 2013 and into 2014. What we've seen is that the implementation of it has been terrible. And as we've discovered, as we discovered in late 2014, and as many of us were saying all along, the American people were sold a bill of goods here. This was disguised as something else, and the truth was not told to us by our own government, by the Obama administration, about what the Obamacare law would be. And we saw that in those tapes that came out with Jonathan Gruber telling us exactly what was going on here.
Jonathan Gruber, of course, is an MIT professor. He was one of the key architects of Obamacare. And he said basically that to get this thing passed, they had to deceive their way through it.
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
At least you could say he's being honest there, as opposed to if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your insurance plan, you can keep your insurance plan.
And honesty has been hard to come by in this, and maybe it was unintentional on his part. I don't think he ever expected that all the American public was going to hear what he said. But what it shows us is that the Obama administration was not dealing with us in good faith. They were not telling the American people the truth as they were pushing it through. And so the American public, after this disastrous rollout of Obamacare in late 2013 and all through 2014, after hearing the truth, very clearly spoke in November and said, we want this law repealed. Now it's going to be up to our representatives to do that, and we will have to hold their feet to the fire. But this is an important issue to us because the lives of the elderly are at risk as we see the possibility of ration care. And even though we've had assurances, oh, no, that won't happen. Well, look what's happened with the other assurances. And even though Hobby Lobby had to fight all the way to the United States Supreme Court to protect the right of conscience to not fund abortion-causing contraceptives, fought, by the way, all the way to the Supreme Court by the Obama administration, we see that the American people said, we don't want it. And so in 2015, this is going to be a major issue for D. James Kennedy Ministries. We are going to have a repeal Obamacare petition coming up, and so I urge everyone to stay tuned for that and be ready to jump on board with us for that.
But one thing I'm very excited about with this ministry is that not only do we address these issues, but we address them from a biblical perspective. Because, you know, at the end of the day, the only opinion that really counts is God.
And standing on the truth is the only place to stand. If you don't have an absolute guide to truth, as we do in God's Word, then it's everybody making it up for himself. And unfortunately, that's what we see our government explicitly engaging in. And we want to stand on that true rock of God's truth, of God's Word.
John, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
We are so grateful for the blessings that God has given us in 2014. This year, we tripled our syndication with this program now available in nearly every home in America. We added a new radio program that's airing on a growing number of stations. We also distributed voters' guides and valuable messages of my father's in anticipation of the elections in November, which God greatly blessed. The pro-life, pro-family cause made its biggest strides in years. And we've broadcast the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. God has made all this possible through viewers like you. And we thank you. As we sprint to the end of the year, I want to ask for your help one more time. We have big plans for 2015, including the launch of a new magazine and the introduction of the D. James Kennedy Study Bible. We'll be telling you more about those things in coming days. And of course, our nation continues to need to hear the truth as we seek God's help to pull us back from the brink of self-destruction. Won't you please consider giving a tax-deductible year-end gift to help us finish strong? If you contact us with your gift right away, we'll send you perhaps the most sought messages my father ever preached, called The Gospel in the Stars. This series is available on 13 DVDs or 13 audio CDs for the very first time. And we'll send it to you as our thanks for your gift of just $75 or more to the ongoing work of this ministry. And we'll also include my father's book, drawn from these messages, The Real Meaning of the Zodiac, back in print for the first time in years. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. This is such an in-demand resource, you may want to share it with your family or friends. So to make this offer even more amazing, you can, if you like, get the book, The Real Meaning of the Zodiac, plus the 13 DVDs and the 13 CDs of The Gospel in the Stars, 26 discs total. For a donation of $100 or more, simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762. Or go online to djameskennedy.org. Or if you prefer, you can get just the book, The Real Meaning of the Zodiac, for a generous donation of any amount.
With all of the important issues that will be facing us in 2015, please consider giving your most generous tax-deductible gift to help to finish this year in the black, ready to boldly move forward. Thank you for joining us today, and may God bless you.
And may God bless America.
Today's program is available on DVD or audio CD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. Next week on Kennedy Classics.
Abortion is a multi-million dollar business. It's a business that trades in death.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.